Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. One of the Ivy League schools, universities, made some news over the last couple of days because of how they're planning on doing their graduation ceremonies. And that's ceremonies, plural. Not their graduation ceremony. Columbia University. It's up there in it's in New York City. It's in the Harlem section of New York City, Columbia University. They're hosting six separate graduation ceremonies based on income level, race, ethnicities, and I saw that and I scratched my head. I said, wait a minute. I thought at the Ivy League colleges and universities, I thought they're supposed to be the smartest universities. But why would they have six different graduation ceremonies based on income level and race and other things? That sounds like how life used to be, right? Columbia University is planning to hold six additional graduation ceremonies for students according to their race and other aspects of how they identify. Their website detailed graduation ceremonies for Native, Asian, something called Latinx, and Black students taking place for Columbia College, Columbia Engineering, General Studies, and Barnard College. That's underneath the Columbia umbrella. At the end of April. At the end of the school year, school semester. Another is dubbed FLI graduation, and it's for first generation and or low income community. So isn't that something? They're going to have their own graduation, and the only way people could show up for that graduation is if you're either a first generation college graduate or you're poor, you're from low income, a low income community. The school also hosts a lavender graduation for the LGBTIAQ+ community. Boy, as time goes on, doesn't that group, they just keep adding letters? I think now at this point, it'd be easier just to subtract letters from the alphabet.
All right. I'm not a historian, John, but that sounds suspiciously like segregation.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder, but it's voluntary segregation. It seems like the people involved in this want to do it. They want to be segregated. And my thing is now, if you're having separate graduations for separate groups of people, can one person attend more than one graduation? So let's say you just happen to be Black, you just happen to be gay, and you just happen to be poor. Can you go to the Black graduation, the gay graduation, and the poor graduation?
It's a good point. You're on three different lists at that point. You're on three different graduation ceremony lists at Columbia University.
And then are you going to have six separate valedictorians and salutatorians? Like, yeah, they have the gay valedictorian, the Black valedictorian, then the Asian valedictorian, and then the poor valedictorian, then the rich valedictorian. Is that how it's going to work?
due to coronavirus restrictions, these six different graduation ceremonies at Columbia University will take place online. It's unclear when the separate ceremonies actually were announced, but this past Sunday was the deadline for nominating individuals in Columbia College, Columbia Engineering, and General Studies for the Multicultural Affairs Graduation Cords.
See, that name is suspicious. It's not multicultural if you're separating the cultures. It's only multicultural if you put all the cultures into one graduation. That would really be a multicultural graduation. But if you're separating the cultures, that's not multicultural. That's monoculture.
Well, when this story broke earlier this week, a lot of people were talking about it and saying exactly what we're saying, what you just mentioned. Wait a minute. Isn't this the definition of segregation?
It is definitely the definition. They're segregating graduations based on sexual orientation, financial class, and race and ethnicity.
So the university on Tuesday issued a statement on Twitter regarding the graduation ceremonies, saying the events exist in addition to, not instead of, university-wide commencement and individual school class days, and are voluntary, and they're open to every student.
So I guess segregation is okay as long as it's voluntary segregation.
Yeah, you can volunteer to segregate. And Columbia University said these events are important, intimate, and welcoming spaces for students aligned with these groups to come together to celebrate their achievements if they wish, the university tweeted. They are organized in tandem with students and student groups. And they say they're still going to have a whole university-wide commencement ceremony on April 30th.
This is crazy.
Yeah, I just, again, as I guess they're in their minds, they're trying to make people in these different groups connect or feel special or segregate. I don't know.
I guess it's like, all right, let's say you have the regular graduate. I'm trying to make sense of this. So if you have the regular graduation and you have the valedictorian, and the valedictorian, let's say, just happens to be the smartest Asian female, where there can be a guy that says, well, the only reason she made the smartest one because she has a better income than I am. But if we broke it down by income and I didn't have the amount of money to get all the books and computer access that I wanted, I would have been valedictorian. So let's have the poor people graduation to show that I was actually one of the smartest people. I just happened to be broke. Then there's another person that would have said, well, the only reason she's smart because they put me, you know, in a class with an Asian chick, but I'm black and we've been segregated against, so I didn't have access to education like she has when her ancestors has. So let's have a black graduation too, so I can be the smartest black person in the school or something like that. It's like a participation trophy. Everyone wants to be the valedictorian, so they have to have different classes of valedictorian to make sure there's a black valedictorian, a smart valedictorian.
Well, I don't know if this means they're going to have six different valedictorians at Columbia University.
That's what it sounds like. I think that's what it is. I think they just want to have multicultural valedictorians. That way everybody gets some sort of a participation trophy. That's what it sounds like. I may be wrong. I'm just trying to make sense of it, and this is the best that my brain can process.
Yeah, this has got me scratching my head again because they're one of the Ivy League colleges. They're one of the Ivy League schools. They're supposed to be the smartest of them all. And
well, they've outsmarted me because I feel dumbfounded trying to process what's going on.
I just thought, I saw that and I said, man, it's got me scratching my head how Columbia University is hosting six separate graduation ceremonies based on income level, race, ethnicities, and I guess the students are going to have to go figure out which. Maybe they'll be going to multi graduations ceremonies. this year at Columbia. All right, coming up on the show this Saturday in our neck of the woods here in the New Orleans area, I know that it is an election day, a special election day. People are voting because they need to replace Congressman Cedric Richmond, who left the Congress to be a part of President Joe Biden's crew. So this Saturday, people are voting in that election. The other night, they had a debate with some of the front runners, and one of the main front runners, a state senator, didn't show up. He backed out of the debate. And you shouldn't be doing that if you're running in an election and you want to win a race. Where the hell was State Senator Troy Carter the other night? They couldn't find him. Stay tuned for that. We have a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans' morning radio show. And Saturday, around here in New Orleans, is an election day. This is a special election to fill the United States congressional seat of Cedric Richmond, who left that gig when Joe Biden became president, and he's joining President Joe Biden's staff. So that leaves his congressional seat open. And Saturday, 2 days from now, here in the city of New Orleans and around the area, people can go vote for who they want to replace Cedric Richmond. There's a bunch of people on the bill. And a couple of nights ago, two nights ago, they had a debate on one of our local television stations here in the city, Channel 6, WDSU. But there were a couple of issues with that debate. One of the issues is that one of the front runners didn't show up. State Senator Troy Carter, he backed out of the debate. And another issue with that debate two nights ago on WDSU is that one of the candidates was not invited. And then when he said, look, I'm running, why can't I be in this debate, WDSU said no. That candidate's name is Claston Bernard. He happens to be a black man, and he was endorsed by Republicans. So a black conservative Republican, which you don't see very often, but Claston Bernard is his name. And he was kept out. He was held out of that debate. But getting back to Schur, now look, Claston Bernard wouldn't have a chance of winning this election, not here in the city of New Orleans. I mean, they vote one political party and one political party only, and that's Democrat. Nothing will change that. But they still should have at least allowed Claston Bernard, the Louisiana Republicans' endorsed candidate in this second district congressional race, they should have at least allowed him to be in the debate. But they should know. But because again, I mean, he doesn't have a chance to win. No Republican.
But you think
has a chance to win any elected office here in the city of New Orleans?
Do you think he was denied because he was Republican, or is it like the national media where you have to have a certain amount as a percentage of, I guess what you would call it, votes or something to get into the debates? You know how we have the national debates and say if you don't score under this amount of supporters or whatever, you can't get involved in our debates or whatnot? Or do you think it's because he was Republican?
I don't know exactly why he was not allowed to be a part of the WDSU television debate a couple of nights ago, Coleman. I don't know. All I know is that he and others around him are saying he wasn't allowed. And what's interesting is Troy Carter, the state senator who didn't show up, he said after the debate that he didn't show up because everyone wasn't invited. Everyone who should have been invited was not invited. But that was a flat-out lie. That was dishonest because Troy Carter wasn't taking up for Chasten Bernard. He released a poll last week in which his pollster deliberately left Claston Bernard off the list of options. What Troy Carter was doing was concocting an excuse not to put himself in front of the voters because he thinks he already has first place locked up. And the person who's closest to him is another state senator from New Orleans, Karen Carter Peterson, who for a while was the head of the Louisiana Democratic Party. And she's made all kinds of headlines for some ridiculous things she said over the last few years. But it looks like it's going to come down to Troy Carter, state senator from New Orleans, against another state senator from New Orleans, Karen Carter Peterson, no relation. And it looks like those two are going, if they both get enough votes in 2 days, they will then advance to a runoff in a second election in the near future.
Eric says, good morning, guys. Troy Carter has no need to show up for a debate. It's fool's gold to think that anyone else can win that race. You bet your ass it won't be a Republican.
Yeah, and that's what I just said, Texter. That's why Troy Carter didn't show up. He thinks he's already got it. Why put himself at any risk?
But that's a smart play, right?
Smart play. Well,
I mean, you can't think honorable and moral. You have to think political. The honorable moral thing to do is to represent, show yourself up for the debate, show what kind of person you are, share your issues and thoughts. But politically, it's smart not to put yourself in a position where you can say something stupid and lose. Because right now, he's so much of a front runner that he can only hurt himself by debating.
Yeah, and look, politically, That's why he didn't show up the other night. But if I'm a voter, and there's a person that I want to vote for in this congressional, I mean, I live here in New Orleans, but I know my vote doesn't count. But if I'm a Troy Carter guy, I'm kind of scratching my head saying, well, wait a minute, you were supposed to show up. You were on the list of candidates who was going to show up. And then all of a sudden I sit down to hear what you're going to say and you're not there. You don't show up. But I don't think the voters of New Orleans really care about that. I mean, look who the voters of New Orleans just elected to be the district attorney in the last election. They elected Jason Williams, who's got an 11-count federal indictment hanging over his head. When that trial comes up, he will be convicted. He will be convicted of a felony, and he won't be able to be district attorney. He's already the outgoing district attorney. He's the jail-bound district attorney here in New Orleans. But the voters of New Orleans didn't care. They voted for him anyways. So it's going to be it. Look, and I know that Troy Carter, the state senator, he doesn't mind if Karen Carter Peterson is against him in the runoff, in the final election that will be after this Saturday. But he doesn't want Claston Bernard, again, the black conservative Republican. He doesn't want him in the runoff. I mean, even though Claston Bernard can't win, I mean, it would be impossible, pretty much, for him to win. But if Troy Carter is battling against Karen Carter Peterson in the runoff, he doesn't want to lose even three votes to Claston Bernard, let alone any. So, I don't know, it's just politics at play here in New Orleans in the upcoming race to replace Congressman Cedric Richmond, who just walked away from that seat to go be a part of President Joe Biden's staff.
Mo asks, the city is in such great shape under Democratic rule. Why would anyone vote Republican?
Yeah, you could say that about a lot of American cities. We appreciate the text, but that's how. And the one thing I don't like is how some people are called names because of their politics. I've heard Claston Bernard, and I've heard other black people, Coleman. I've heard other black people called horrible names if they're not like the other 97% of black people or whatever it is in the country and vote Democrat. If they're on the other side of the political aisle, like Claston Bernard, I've heard him called awful names like Uncle Tom, house slaves. I've heard black conservatives called all kinds of awful names. And that stinks. I mean, people should be able to believe in what they believe in. They should have principles, and they should be able to express them without being called a litany of awful names. So it'll be interesting this Saturday. Again, look for Troy Carter and Karen Carter Peterson to advance to the runoff after this Saturday's election to replace Cedric Richmond. Hey, coming up on the show, I think there's one thing we can all agree on. It doesn't matter where politically you come from. I think all of us despise robocalls, right? I don't think there's any. As a matter of fact, if you could find me anybody who gets a robocall and answers it and talks to the people and who doesn't mind robocalls, I'd like to interview them. I'd like to check their mental health situation. Well, if you hate robocalls, some good news for you coming up on the show. We have a lot to do this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Talking Heads there. And when the leader of that band, David Byrne, said, "That's enough of the Talking Heads, we're finished," they were at the height of their popularity. Much like when Sting said, "The Police are finished." It's rare when you see that with a band. When they're at the height of their popularity, they're at the top of their game, selling, well, when bands used to sell albums, tons of them. And as the years have gone on, the Talking Heads have been offered a lot of money to get back together and do a tour, maybe do another album. But time and time again, David Byrne always says no. He said, "That was in my path." You know, the other Talking Heads, they would love that. It was just like the other two guys in The Police. Loved it when Sting said, "I'll put The Police back together for a little while." But the leaders of those two bands, they just said, "No, it was a time and a place." And what's interesting about that, here are the Talking Heads, where if David Byrne decided to put them back together, they could get a bunch of cash and people would love it. Meanwhile, you've got a lot of bands from the 80s who are still together, even if it's only their original drummer and original light man. They're playing a casino in Mississippi. You know, you see tons of bands like that, but then bands that you...
Was it like a Sebastian Stan situation where they just didn't get along and he just doesn't want to do
it?
Well,
we talked about that. You just brought up Skid Row, Coleman. With the other guys in Skid Row just do not like Sebastian Bach. That's why they've been offered money, but the other guys in Skid Row are like, "We just don't want to deal with this guy anymore." No, David Byrne, he's out there psychologically as well, although it wasn't because of that. He just wanted to do other things. He went on and was a solo artist and had some success in that realm. So, you know, the Talking Heads not getting back together, completely different reason than Skid Row not getting back together. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. You know, it's interesting what some people do with their parents. You know, most people, you would think, they have parents. You know, our parents raise us as kids. You raise your kids if you're a parent. And then they go on, the children, and they go on and they live their lives. But it's interesting what some parents do with their kids, including this one father and son team who I'm going to tell you about right now. They were two of the four men who were just arrested at an airport with 120 pounds of marijuana in their luggage.
Smoke weed every day.
Now, I know if you're like this son, if you're a 21 or 22 year old guy, there's a good chance your father smoked a lot of weed. I mean there's always the chance he didn't. But it's different than when I was 21 or 22 years old, because now I'm in my 50s. My father didn't smoke a lot of weed. My father was from a different generation. But, you know, guys who are 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24 now, 25, there's a pretty decent chance that, well, if your father didn't smoke a lot of weed, he at least smoked some weed.
Yeah, my generation's completely different. The parents that are around my age, they smoke weed with their children.
Yeah, times have changed. Times have changed. Four men, including a father and son, were arrested the other day in Buffalo, at the airport up there in Buffalo, New York, after airport authorities found 120 pounds of marijuana stashed in their luggage. This flight came from Sacramento, California. So it was the old Sacramento to Buffalo jaunt. Well, what's interesting also is in California, marijuana is legal. Is it not legal in New York?
I would assume not.
I thought it was legal in New York. I know it's legal in Massachusetts. I know it's legal in New Jersey. But even if it's legal, whether it's legal or not, you still can't be putting 120 pounds of it in your suitcase and then getting on a plane and flying across the country, evidently. Transit police up there reported receiving a tip from law enforcement in Sacramento about a possible large amount of marijuana on an inbound flight. So that means...
they snitched.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
They let them go because it was legal in Cali, but then snitched to New York to make sure they got it.
But is it legal? Even though marijuana is legal in California, that's one of the states where it's legal for recreational use, does that mean it's legal to put 120 pounds of it in a suitcase, bring it to the airport, and put it on an airplane? And so, evidently, law enforcement in Sacramento, they knew that there was a bunch of weed in a suitcase, but they didn't do anything about it. They let the father and son team with the 120 pounds of marijuana get on the airplane and fly across the country. And all they did is they just called ahead and said, hey, keep an eye on these.
But that's player hating of the highest degree. Let's say, for instance, yes, it is completely legal that you can put 125 pounds of weed in a plane or luggage in Sacramento, California, because weed is legal in Sacramento. So let's say that's true. Let's use that as the premise. But the cops are so much of a player hater that they knew that wherever they were traveling to, the rules are probably different. So they actually rat snitched ahead and say, hey, look, we couldn't bag these guys on the weed because weed is legal in Sacramento. But when they land, go check out that red package that they had. Go check out that red suitcase.
Well, Coleman, when they landed, the father and son, along with two other guys, would you call this spending quality time with your kid?
I mean, it's better than rigging a homecoming queen election.
When the plane landed, an officer responded with a canine, and the dog sniffed out the weed found in six different checked bags. Acting on a search warrant, police officers found the packages held marijuana with a street value of about $400,000.
Jeez. This text says,
I'm thinking to myself, I'm not that good in math, but hang on, 120 pounds of weed is worth $400,000? Must be some good skunk.
This text says, it's not federally legal to go across state lines.
That's what it is.
But still, don't snitch. You know what I mean? Why you gotta be a snitch?
Or why couldn't they make the bust or say, where do you think you're going with this 120 pounds of...
Or at least warn them and say, hey, you know, you look, just bring it back to your trunk. Don't go across. That's, oh, man. And you know what's funny? You know what always bothers me when cops make busts like this? You know, large pounds of weed or whatnot. They always take a group photo around the weed that they confiscated, and they all smiling and happy. They got the sniffing dog next to the weed bags and all that. And they're just like, yeah, we did a great thing. But, dude, you didn't cause so many people sadness, and because now they can't get their chill on. They can't get the little puff on. And they're sitting there smiling like they did. We did a great job, you guys. Look at us. We stop people from being happy.
Well, father and son, 52-year-old Dion Burnett and his 18-year-old son, Dion Burnett Jr.
DJ.
Were arrested, as well as another 18-year-old and another 49-year-old guy. Those were the four guys who were arrested. The other two weren't father and son, at least legitimately that we know about, but all four were arrested and charged with first-degree criminal possession of marijuana. That's a Class C felony.
Boo.
And additional charges may follow. So even though marijuana is legal in a bunch of states, you still can't be doing things like that. And I wonder if it's fair for this kid to say, why am I in trouble, Dad? Because of you. I learned it from watching you.
You know, we could avoid problems like this if they would just make marijuana legal.
I don't know if we will, because there are too many states in the South that just, they don't want to make it happen. They don't want to let it happen. And if you're listening, I don't know if you agree or not, but in my opinion, and Coleman's, marijuana should be legal. There's no way that anybody could tell me that marijuana is more dangerous than alcohol.
Or cigarettes.
Yeah. Well, we're slowly inching to that place where marijuana is legal and cigarettes are illegal.
But we need to hurry up.
We're slowly getting to that place. So anyways, the father and son, now they're, at least they were, jail cellmates because of that. And I just, it shows you how times have changed. I mean, I couldn't imagine moving 120 pounds of weed with my father. I'd get smacked for that. I'd have two choices, backhand or forehand. All right, coming up on the show, we got some good news about robocalls. I know robocalls are awful, finally some good news happened when it came to robocalls. We'll tell you about that. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. That was some storm last night.
Yes, it was.
And Coleman, you work a second job. You deliver chicken wings on the West Bank at night. Were you in the middle of that craziness? I mean, we had a tornado warning for like 6 hours.
Was I in the middle of it? First of all, everybody got these stimulus checks yesterday, so they was wilding out when it came to orders. I mean, they had people like in a project giving us $10 tips and whatnot. They usually don't even order. That goes to show me that they could tip if they have the money. Second, like when the storm hit, everybody was complaining like, where's my food? Where's my food? It's like, dude, you don't see the weather outside? And then you had to drive through the floods and stuff like that. And third, what made it work? Well, two things that made it bad. Our dishwasher called out sick. So the drivers had to end up washing dishes after we took all of our deliveries. And then when I went outside after I finished washing dishes, my tire was flat, so I had to change my tire before I was able to go home. So I didn't get home till like midnight 30. Like, I only got like 2 hours of sleep before I came back over here. So it was a rough night.
Yeah, you're one of the hardest working people I know, Coleman. You really are. So, I know a bunch of people lost power. There were businesses that closed last night. Because they told us, if you watch the news, they said here in Louisiana, at least southeastern Louisiana, it was going to get rough, and there was going to be tornado warnings for several hours. So I hope you're doing all right this morning after that storm that moved through here last night. One thing that most people can agree on, even in the year 2021, when there are people, many people who don't agree on very much, and some of those people, if they don't agree with something, they just don't even want to have to deal with it anymore. They just want to cancel it. But I don't think I could find anybody that enjoys a robocall. robocalls, even though they're illegal, they suck. I mean, and the good thing about cell phones, there's a lot of good things about cell phones, although I do kind of miss the days before cell phones when you could leave either your house or leave your office, leave your workplace, and nobody can get in touch with you. You could actually get away. There's no more getting away from people that you want to get away from with cell phones. But what is worse than when your cell phone rings and you look down and you don't recognize the number, there's no name, you don't know the person, they're not already stored in your cell phone, and it's a robocall. I never answer my phone if I don't know who's calling. If it's just a number that pops up, I never answer it. I mean, if it is important, they will leave a voicemail, right?
Or they would text me. I don't even have my voicemail activated on my phone. So if you want to get in touch with me, you'd have to text me.
Well, some good news in the world of robocalls. And by the way, if there is anyone who doesn't mind robocalls, I'd like to talk to them.
Well, how would you get in touch with them if you don't answer your phone? Strange numbers.
Well, yeah, I mean, wouldn't you like to sit down and talk to someone for a minute that says, I don't mind robocalls? Wouldn't you just like to get into their mind for a minute? What's the matter with you? Well, anyways, a record $225 million fine was just handed out to robocallers who sent out over 1 billion robocalls. The robocallers used spoofing by making caller ID look like the calls were coming from another number. And so I guess enough people complained about that where the FCC got involved. And the FCC has never been a friend to people in our business, in the radio industry. Usually the FCC is always battling with radio stations over things. Well, at least for now, the FCC put those radio station battles on the back burner, and they just handed out a record $225 million fine to these robocallers who sent out over a billion robocalls. Two Texas-based robocallers who sent out over 1 billion calls are being fined $225 million by the FCC. That's the Federal Communications Commission. It's the largest fine in FCC history.
Well-deserved, though. It's a well-deserved fine.
Yeah, you know, in the radio business, in our line of work, Coleman, our biggest... Our biggest job is to, A, not do anything that loses the license of the radio station.
And we dance that line daily.
Well, and B, do not get fined. And the FCC just handed out their biggest fine to these two guys, John Spiller and Jacob Mears. They used business names, including the names Rising Eagle, J Squared Telecom, and they used a technique known as spoofing. That's when the call comes from one number, but the recipient of the call sees a different number on their phone, on their caller ID.
But what do they want? What was so important that they had to call a billion people? What did they have to say? There was just like, what, send nudes? What was the actual message in the robocall that was so important that a billion people had to get their phone rang from a weird number?
Well, these calls, Coleman, falsely offered short-term insurance plans from reputable companies like Blue Cross and Blue Shield, Cigna. So that's, That's what they were doing.
So they didn't get in trouble for sending robocalls in general. They got in trouble for sending robocalls with false advertisements.
Yes.
So you mean to tell me that regular companies can still do robocalls if it's legit? Because I'm thinking this would be the end of all robocalls whatsoever.
They're not supposed to, because have you gotten on the list? It only takes a minute. You can put your number on a list that is supposed to protect you from robocalls. That you're supposed to be able to put your name on a list and your number on a list where robocalls wouldn't be able to call you.
Ah, well, I got a real call from AT&T yesterday. They told me that my Showtime Max is free for a month, and I was at work, so I couldn't talk to them.
So one of the guys arrested, John Spiller, admitted to making millions of spoofed calls per day.
I don't have that much time.
And said he deliberately called people who were registered on the do not call list. There you go. He believed it would be more profitable to target those people. So I guess if you send out over a billion robocalls, you're going to make a few bucks from some people. And that's what these guys were doing. I mean, it's incredible when you look at the numbers. The company Rising Eagle made up a large portion of the 23.6 million health insurance-related robocalls per day. Well, over 23 million robocalls per day that the...
You know, I come up with get-rich-quick schemes all the time, and I never really act on them, but this is one I would never think of. Let's just call a billion people every now and then and see if we can scam them out some fake insurance claims.
And those calls from Rising Eagle's spoofing calls, they caused one reputable company to become inundated with angry calls from customers who didn't realize they were being victimized by someone else. But this legitimate company's name popped up on the caller ID on the cell phone. So these two guys were making a lot of people's lives a living hell. And we're not just talking about the people that were getting the robocalls.
Well, you know what, John? Instead of calling people to make their lives miserable, did you know our listeners can text the number to make their lives awesome? 72881. Because we're giving out some money.
That's right. We're making it rain on Bayou 95.7. Every hour, we're giving you the opportunity to win $1,000 in cash starting right now here on Bayou 95.7. Just listen. On New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. I've got a message to the mayor of the city of New Orleans, Letaxa Cantrell. Yesterday, the IRS announced they're pushing back the due date for income taxes this year from April 15th to May 17th. So our mayor and her husband, who they owe the IRS over $100,000 the last decade, she's got an extra month. And 2 days. So the IRS made that announcement yesterday. Tax law changes prompted the Internal Revenue Service to move income tax deadline by an extra month and a couple of days. The IRS, they want to give people more time to prepare their taxes. That's why they're doing this, because of the crazy year we had with coronavirus and such. They want people to be able to cope with the changes brought on by the pandemic.
So you want to shoot over to Mississippi and bet money on whether or not the mayor is going to pay our taxes this year with the extra deadline extension?
I don't know if that's a bet that they have on the board. That would be cool if you could go into one of the casinos there where gambling is legal and see if the mayor of New Orleans is finally going to pay the IRS the money that she owes them. Well, anyway, she's got an extra month, and not just her, but you, me, and everybody else. And the IRS, they say they want to help us.
Yeah, I'm not in a rush to give them my money.
Yeah, well, now, Coleman, instead of waiting until May 15th, I'm sorry, instead of waiting until April 15th, you can wait until May 17th, because that's the day this year that they're giving us to get our taxes done. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Just excited that live music is coming back here in the city of New Orleans and all over Louisiana. I mean, live music is coming back, not completely, as we've talked about starting tomorrow night. I know there are shows at Tipitina's and the Howlin' Wolf and along Frenchman Street. We're going to see live music again in bars here in the city and all over the state. But when we go, we're still going to have to wear a mask. We're going to have to sit down, and we're not allowed to sing and dance. So at least we can go see live music. We can't move. We can't open our mouths. But at least it's a start, right? At least we can go see and hear live music again. And I think when this towards the end of the summer, I think that's when we're going to really start seeing things get back to the way they were before the damn virus. I think once we get to the halfway point of the summer, I think it'll all be downhill from there. But this isn't the only place in the United States. I mean, think about that. We can go see live music again, but we can't sing or dance. And the bands on stage, they can't have any singers, and they can't have any wind-blown instruments, which we've talked about on the show. It's kind of rough for New Orleans. But going to see music, live music again in Louisiana with those restrictions, those aren't the only restrictions in an industry as we try to come back from coronavirus. Out in California, the California Theme Park Association, they're hoping to stop and mitigate screaming on roller coasters when the roller coasters reopen. And by the way, the California Theme Park Association, they are with Disneyland, Six Flags, Universal Studios, Hollywood. So they deal with the biggest and most populated amusement parks in California. They're going to reopen soon, and they say that they don't want people to scream on roller coasters.
Basically, if they have their way, if you're on the roller coaster, which is a thrill ride, and you get your adrenaline rushing, and there's a big dip in the roller coaster, they want you to stay calm and just take all the G-forces and not experience the thrill.
Yeah, just like if you go see live music in New Orleans this weekend, they don't want you to move. You sit down, keep your mouth shut, enjoy the live music. It's the same thing as being on a roller coaster when it reopens. When the amusement parks reopen in California very soon, get on that roller coaster, but don't you dare scream. Keep your mouth shut.
And what happens if you do scream? Are they going to have the mass police sitting and waiting for the roller coaster ride to be over with and have videos of everybody that screamed on the roller coaster and they take them to jail or they get fined?
I don't know if they're going to fine you, arrest you, but the California Amusement Park Association or the CAPA, that's an industry trade group representing Disneyland and Six Flags, Universal Studios. They're currently advising its members, parks, they're telling Disneyland and Six Flags and all the other theme parks out there that they're associated with, they're telling them to adjust the seat loading patterns on their rides to mitigate the effect of shouting when the parks are allowed to reopen beginning in about 2 weeks on April 1st. So they want signs up in these amusement parks by the roller coasters, by the rides, saying, look, we appreciate, we're happy that you're back, but please do not scream when you're on this ride.
There's no logical way that they can pull this one off. What are they going to do when a roller coaster gets to its peak and it dips, it just goes 2 miles per hour so it doesn't scare you? Or
they can't do that because you wouldn't be getting your money's worth. You'd be getting ripped off at that point.
Part of your money's worth is the experience, though. There was a movie that was released some time ago. It's called Equilibrium, and it was illegal for people to show any sort of emotion whatsoever. That's what this seems like. They don't want you to sing and dance when they have music. They don't want you to tap your feet. They don't want you to dance. They don't want you to gyrate. Now you're saying they want you to go on. They want you to spend your money for the thrill ride, yep. But they don't want you to experience the thrill while you're riding. That is crazy. What they don't, I guess, when you eat at a restaurant, we're not supposed to go, that's some good food. We're just supposed to eat and shut up and not compliment the chef and just go home, just eating.
Yeah, and put our mask on when we walk into the restaurant and we walk out of the restaurant. But while we're sitting there, we can be maskless and we can.
And then when you wear your mask, you can't show any facial expression. So basically, they're training us to be robots. No emotion, no expression. No, you can't voice anything. You can't voice approval or disapproval. You can't cheer. You can't boo. You can't tap your feet. You can't dance. You can't scream on a thrill ride. They want us to be autonomous robots.
Well, they're hoping to mitigate screaming on roller coasters and other amusement park rides in California when they all reopen up in a couple of weeks on April 1st. So here they're mitigating dancing and singing and standing up when we go see live music. And that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing out there. I guess you got to start somewhere, Coleman. But isn't this absurd?
It is clearly absurd.
Yeah, this was a finalist for the dumbest thing I read all morning. Please do not scream when you're on a roller coaster. We're trying to keep coronavirus in check.
don't scream ouch when you get hurt in public. Just absorb the pain.
Yeah, but that segment is coming up, the dumbest thing I read all morning. And got a few other things we got to get to on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. And it looks as if, unless they make a move, that Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill will be battling for the starting quarterback position for the New Orleans Saints this coming season. And you would think that Jameis Winston, who was the number one overall pick a few years ago by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you would think he has the advantage. And you would think that the Saints will do with Taysom Hill what they've done the last couple of years. But instead of Drew Brees being the starter, Jameis Winston would be the starter. And then you bring in the Taysom Hill packages. You would think that's what's going to happen. Although there are still a couple of great NFL quarterbacks who are out there who could be gotten by the Saints if they make a deal. We know Russell Wilson, the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks, said that there was only a handful of teams that he would allow Seattle to trade him to, and he's having some issues with the Seattle Seahawks. You know, they just sent out a bunch of stuff to their season ticket holders. And Russell Wilson was not on any of that stuff. I mean, here's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He should have two. But you would think that if the Seattle Seahawks are sending things to their season ticket holders, that Russell Wilson's name and his face and his image would be on that stuff. And the fact that he said he only wanted to play for a handful of teams, he would only let Seattle trade him to a handful of teams. Well, one of those teams is already off the list because he made that announcement before the Dallas Cowboys signed Dak Prescott to that immense contract they just signed him to. So you could take Dallas off the list. And there were only four teams on that list. It was Dallas, the Saints, the Chicago Bears, and the Las Vegas Raiders. Those are the only teams Russell Wilson would allow Seattle to trade him to. Well, that list now is down to three teams because Dallas just signed Dak Prescott to an immense contract. Evidently, the Chicago Bears, their general manager, who used to work with the Saints, Ryan Pace, he met with Seattle's general manager about making a trade for Russell Wilson, but evidently Seattle either asked for too much, and then their coach, Pete Carroll, said he doesn't want to trade Russell Wilson. So I don't know what's going on with Russell Wilson, but if the Saints should trade pretty much whatever Seattle wants to get Russell Wilson here. The other quarterback who's out there is making news for wrong reasons this morning. Deshaun Watson, the Houston Texans, even though last year he signed a big contract to stay with Houston, he has demanded a trade. He wants out of there. But Houston doesn't want to trade him. So something is going to happen there. I don't know if Deshaun Watson is just going to show up, be miserable, and say, all right, well, because I have the contract, I got to make the money I signed for, I'll stay here even though I don't want to be here. Or what if Deshaun Watson says, you know what, I'm demanding a trade and I'm gonna hold out until you trade me. Would he do that? But he's making news this morning for another reason. He's being sued by two different women for sexual assault.
Uh-oh.
Now, he flat out denies it, Coleman. But evidently, there's one woman, and both of these women are represented by the same lawyer. This one woman said that Deshaun Watson came over my house for a personal massage, and he wanted more than just the massage, and he touched me with his penis. Now, if that happened, why wouldn't that woman call the police right then and there or right after Deshaun Watson left? She says that after Deshaun Watson left, he texted her an apology. Now, if that is true, she should have that evidence. That is evidence A. But Deshaun Watson is denying any of this. And anybody that knows anything about Deshaun Watson, he's been nothing but, besides it, an outstanding quarterback, but a good guy.
What massage parlor employee would give somebody their personal number so they can get text messages after they leave?
Well, I don't know if she was a massage parlor employee, Coleman, but she was a massage therapist.
She might have had a private practice.
She had her own gig, maybe self-employed.
Ah, okay, that makes sense.
But, I mean, anybody could sue anybody. And we've seen that historically here in the United States of America. But should these lawsuits be allowed if these women did not call the police? Because if someone is sexually assaulted, shouldn't the police be the first people that are called? we're seeing this with the investigation that's going on with LSU and Baton Rouge. When you know, LSU higher ups are losing their jobs. We saw just what just happened with Les Miles. He lost his job at Kansas, the former LSU football coach, because of what he supposedly did when he was coaching LSU, putting female students in uncomfortable situations. If that stuff happened, why didn't those women go right to the police? I mean, several LSU players, former LSU players, are being accused of sexual assault. And that's why these LSU higher-ups have lost their jobs or they've been suspended until at least this investigation is finished. Why wouldn't, whether it was the LSU cases or this case here with Deshaun Watson, the quarterback of the Houston Texans, why wouldn't these women call the police immediately after these incidents happened? Why would they go to other people first? Get a lawyer, or go to LSU higher-ups or whatever. If something like that... Now, I know I'm a dude, but if anybody touched me with their penis, I'd call the cops. And then I'd call a lawyer after that. But my first call would be to the police. So, look, again, anybody can sue anybody. And I don't know if this happened or not, but these two different women in Houston are now represented by the same lawyer saying the same thing about Deshaun Watson. But there's another guy, just like Russell Wilson. If the Saints could get him, pretty much give Houston whatever they want. If they could get Deshaun Watson to play quarterback for the New Orleans Saints starting this fall.
So would you risk it now, even with this going on, this investigation going on?
Well, that's why I brought it up. This could hinder some other teams from maybe wanting to make a move for a guy who does not want to play for the team he is under contract to play for. Interesting stuff. And hey, we're making it rain every hour here at Bayou 95.7. We're giving you the opportunity to win $1,000 cash every hour. You don't need a lawyer. You don't need anything else. And this hour shot is coming up next. I mean, right now, just let us get through the traffic, and then Coleman will tell you the keyword, the cash word of the day, to then text in to 72881 as we make it rain here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. So over the last year, a lot of people moved out of New York and California. Those two states saw a lot of people move out of. And the states they moved to were considered freer states. As a matter of fact, I have the five freest states in the United States right in front of me here. And what makes a state free? Low taxes, less government intrusion, smaller government. And the states that the New Yorkers and the Californians were moving to the most, the freest states. I've got right here the five freest states.
Let's start with five.
In America. Well, I don't, they're not in any order.
Oh, okay.
They could just, Florida. There's no state income tax in the Sunshine State of Florida. New Hampshire. Their state motto is live free or die. You see that on a lot of license plates up there. Tennessee, Texas. Texas doesn't have any state income tax as well. And Virginia have been called the five freest states. Do you know what the five least free states in the United States are? I already named two of them, New York and California, because the taxes are so high. The government intrusion in people's lives is out of control. That big government. And rounding out the least freest United States are Vermont, which is interesting because that's right next to New Hampshire. So you've got, in the middle of the snow, you've got the freest, one of the freest and one of the least free states right next to each other. Also, Alaska. Boy, I wouldn't think that. I would think Alaska's free with all the wilderness up there. But it's one of the five least freest states. And West Virginia. So go figure. Virginia is one of the five freest states in America. West Virginia is one of the least five freest states in America. That doesn't make any sense. Anyways, I thought you'd find that interesting. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And this guy who we're going to tell you about, he's not just dumb. He's not just an idiot. He's a moron. He's a buffoon. And he's a dope. Wait till you hear how he got all of those monikers. Next on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And it's time for me to tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Man arrested three times in under 12 hours.
How do you accomplish something like that?
It's a good question, Coleman. A man is facing an array of criminal charges after he was arrested three times in the same day. Matter of fact, in the same 12 hours. This happened last week. 29-year-old Robert Raddick.
You idiot.
Of Marlboro, New York. At first, he was driving a Jeep Cherokee when he was arrested just before 8 a.m. after a trooper stopped him for a vehicle and traffic law violation. And then after he stopped them, the trooper realized that Robert Raddick was driving with a suspended license and he found him to be in possession of cocaine.
That'll do it.
So he gets arrested, okay? He gets out. A little more than 6 hours later, Raddick is driving a Honda Civic. He's driving a different car when he was again stopped for a vehicle and traffic law violation. He was stopped by the same trooper. And the trooper immediately recognized him from the stop earlier in the day. And this time he found him to be in possession of cocaine and heroin. So he's arrested again and he gets out again.
And he doubles down.
He got out again. You would think at that point that the cops in New York State would say, okay, this dude, he didn't learn his lesson. He's keeping behind bars. Then he gets out again, and he gets arrested for the third time when a different trooper stopped his Jeep Cherokee, so he was back in the original car after observing multiple vehicle and traffic law violations. And when the cop talked to him, he determined that this man was impaired by drugs. All three arrests in under 12 hours took place in the city of Newburgh, New York. I got to be honest with you, I'd be upset with who's ever in charge of keeping people in jail in Newburgh, New York. Because this guy gets arrested three different times in one day. How dumb do you have to be?
So who's the dumb one? The guy getting arrested or the people that keeps letting him out to get arrested again?
Well, Robert Raddick. R-A-D-E-K is his last name. Raddick or Raddick. He's 29 years old. He's an idiot. But whoever let him out of jail those first two times, all right, the first time, well, I don't know. He had coke on him and, okay, he bonded out. But then the second time, we had coke and smack on him. They let him out after that. To get arrested a third time in the same day in the town of Newburgh, New York. So the man arrested three times, about 12 hours, same day. It's the dumbest thing I read all morning. On Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.